This is 10 Minutes of Science, a Women in Ophthalmology initiative supported by Johnson & Johnson. We have invited ophthalmologists who are leaders in their field to discuss a journal article of their choice. My name is Robin Troutbeck. I'd like to welcome Caroline Catt. Caroline is a paediatric and general ophthalmologist working at the Children's Hospital at Westmead, Liverpool Hospital NICU, and Sydney Ophthalmic Specialists. She has recently established an ROP database with Save Sight Registries. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
Good. Which paper have you chosen to review today, and why have you picked it?
So I've chosen a paper called Myopia Control Effects of Defocus Incorporated Multiple Segments, DIMS, Spectacle Lens in Chinese Children, Results of a 3-Year Follow-Up Study. This paper was written by a group from Hong Kong, headed by Professor Carly Lam, who's from the Centre of Myopia Research. And it's a collaboration between people from a couple of different research institutes and also the developmental department of Hoya, the vision care section of Hoya in Tokyo in Japan. The reason I've chosen this article is that, as we all know, the prevalence of myopia is increasing, and it's increasing rapidly. It's projected that 50% of the world's population will be myopic by 2050. So this is a condition, and its treatment is going to cross our paths professionally. And if not professionally, then probably personally, as, you know, parents of kids that our kids are socializing with, or, you know, school pickup, parents will say, oh, what do you think about, you know, these glasses that were offered to my child? So yeah. I think it's one of these areas it's good to have some basic knowledge on.
Just before we get started, what is a DIMS lens?
Good question. So a DIMS lens, D-I-M-S, it's a custom-made plastic lens which has a central optical zone. The Hoya lens has a 9mm central optical zone, and that's for correcting the distance. And then surrounding that is an annulus or a ring, which is 33mm in diameter. And within that ring are multiple segments of tiny little what's called lenslets. And each of those tiny lenses has 1.30mm diameter size. And those little lenses have a relative positive power of +3.5 diopters. So it's sometimes called a donut lens because it's got this sort of donut configuration. It looks like a normal spectacle lens. In some lights, if you tilt it, you might see that annulus around the central lens. It's the best way I can describe it is that rather than having an ad down the bottom of the lens, it's like you've got a ring of ad around your central portion.
Okay. I have some picture of it now in my mind. What did the study involve? What were they trying to do?
So this study was actually a 1-year follow-on study from their original 2-year study. And it's important I give you a bit of background on the 2-year study first, if that's all right. So the 2-year study was a interventional randomized controlled study that compared the outcomes of children who wore either single vision lenses or DIMS lenses. The children included in the study were exclusively Hong Kong Chinese. They were aged 8 to 13 at the time of the study beginning, and they had myopia between -1 and -5 diopters, and they had no more than 1.5 diopters of astigmatism. So it was double masked, and the children were randomised either to the single vision lenses or the DIMS lenses. And then they looked at the outcomes of spherical equivalent refraction and the axial lengths 6-monthly. The results of that, which I won't go into yet, might come up soon, show that the DIMS lenses were far superior at slowing myopic progression, also axial elongation. And so at the end of the 2-year study, they then offered the children who were in single vision lenses to then start wearing DIMS lenses. So that's what this study was. This was a 1-year prospective follow-on study where in this third year, the single vision lens group was switched to DIMS lens, and they then generated a historical control group for comparison. The aim of this study was to determine if the effect of the DIMS lenses was sustained through a third year in the kids who'd always been wearing them from the start of the study, and whether the DIMS lenses could provide a myopia control benefit in the group that had switched, which they call the control to DIMS group. and whether that was similar to that observed in the original DIMS group.
So what did the results show?
So the results were pretty positive for the DIMS lenses. At the end of the two-year study, the DIMS lenses were superior to the single vision lenses in the sense that the authors claim a 52% slowing of myopia progression in regards to spherical equivalent refraction and a 62% reduction in the axial elongation. Then in the third year of the study, the children who'd always been in the DIMS lenses, they continued to have that slow trajectory of their myopic progression. And they found that the trajectory was pretty even. So there was no difference in the trajectory over the 3 years. However, in the control to DIMS group, the myopia progression, axial elongation was significantly different in that third year. So it looked like the DIMS lenses did have a significant effect in that third year after they were switched over. And analyses across those times showed that myopia progression and axial elongation in that third year were significantly decreased compared to the first and second year. In addition to that, the children in the control to DIMS group, when compared to the historical control group, which unfortunately had slightly less spherical equivalent at baseline, but when they controlled that, the myopic progression over that period was significantly slower than in the historic control group. And a similar result was found in the axial length changes between the switched group and the historical group. So basically, even if you've been wearing single vision lenses, if you then come into DIMS lenses later, you do have a benefit compared to kids who have continued to wear single vision lenses.
Can you tell me what were the absolute values for improvement or like compared to control? So the slowing down of the progression in the spherical equivalent and the axial length, like how much did it actually slow things down? Was there an absolute term? I'm just trying to think. We've got someone else who's going to review the use of atropine, of course, to slow the progression of myopia. Just as a comparison for our listeners, how the DIMS lenses perform compared to low-dose atropine.
Yeah. So I don't have that comparison, but I can give you some of that data is clearest in the two-year study because it's you got a nice simple control group.
Yes.
So in the single vision lenses, so in kids wearing the single vision lenses full time for 2 years, their myopia progressed by 0.95 diopters.
Yep.
As opposed to the DIMS group, where it progressed by 0.38 diopters.
Okay.
And in terms of the axial lengths, the kids in the single vision lenses, their axial lengths increased by 0.53 millimetres. And the kids wearing the DIMS lenses, it increased by 0.21 millimetres.
Okay. So all our listeners have to remember these numbers so they can compare with the atropine results, and then they might have some idea of what they'd like to do with their own patients. But Caroline, going back to your paper, what were the authors' conclusions?
So they concluded that the DIMS spectacle lens slowed myopia progression and axial elongation in children throughout the 3 years of the study, and that the myopia control effect was also demonstrated in that switchover group, the control to DIMS group. They claim that the findings provide further evidence that DIMS lenses slowed myopia progression and axial elongation in children. The optimal age at which treatment should commence is still to be determined, and further monitoring is required to ascertain the treatment effect over a longer period. And this study group plans to actually look at that.
Okay. So we need to know how long they need to stay in these lenses for.
That's right. And that's a tricky question when it comes to all strategies for myopia progression. And the answer is ever changing. Like my practice on that is changing every 6 months, according to the information that comes out.
And from what I gather, it seems to be longer is better.
That's right. That's right. Originally, so I can sort of almost map it from the time I got back from fellowship. Originally, I thought you'd treat for 2 years with atropine and then you'd wean them off.
Yes.
And thereafter, I'd think, oh, maybe we need to treat them till 12, then we'd wean them off. And more recently, we're thinking we need to treat kids until they're at their projected height. So often that's 16, 15 or 16.
Yep. And boys often keep growing for a long time.
Beyond that, yeah.
Yeah. So what does this mean for your clinical practice? Have you got any take-home messages for us?
I do. I'd caution that this study group, the kids included in this study, they are a bit older. So it's important to know the inclusion criteria. So the kids were aged 8 to 13. Often children coming to us for myopia or myopia control, they're a bit younger than that. So we don't really have any evidence to use DIMS lenses in younger children. So the take-home message is that I think a DIMS lens is a really good thing to consider in those older primary school children of Chinese heritage, because that's really all we've got data from in this paper. If they've got myopia between -1 and -5, and if they don't have significant astigmatism. And the other thing to consider is these lenses are more expensive than standard lenses, but I think it's actually a really nice option as a first lens, or if the child's been in single vision lenses only and had no other myopia control attempts, I think it's a really nice lens to consider in those patients.
And just for practical purposes, are they easy to access? The optometrist can prescribe them easily?
I tend to write it on the prescription. So I would say consider a DIMS lens.
Yes.
And I think most optometrists are actually now aware of the fact that they exist.
Yep.
I don't know if all optometrists can actually supply them, but I know that families are able to pretty easily find optometrists if they're really motivated to try it.
Excellent. Thanks so much for coming along today, Caroline. And you've given us some practical information and tips to help our pediatric population.
Thanks, Robin.
Thank you for joining us today on 10 Minutes of Science. See you next time.